Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
We have a guest in the studio who we're all big fans of, and running down, Casey comes over, and you know, we like to just rifle through some of their achievements that our guests have had, and Casey's like, my God, this guy's been in everything.
Oh, yeah. Everything that I love. Yeah, and, just and phenomenal work.
He's like, just there's a stack of stuff here, and I can roll off a few. I'd mentioned earlier this morning, Roxanne is one of my favorite movies. Austin Powers is Bio Shag Me. Best in Show.
Best in Show. Yeah.
Which he
stole the movie.
Scene Stealer. Yeah. And A Mighty Wind as well. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Hey, what happened?
That was from A Mighty Wind. And then we have this clip from Anchorman, I believe, which I'll play.
I could come back later, Mr. Harkin.
Oh, no. It's just parent stuff. It seems that our youngest, Chris, was on something called acid and was firing a bow and arrow into a crowd. You know how kids are.
And the new show that he's on is called Back to You. It's on Fox tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Mr. Fred Willard. Yeah!
Thanks for having me. You see the tie-in with the Kale Pectate in the traffic. Yeah. Keep things moving smoothly.
Of course.
You miss that. But, yeah, back to you. I was wondering. Yeah, it's not just tomorrow night. Every Wednesday night.
Every Wednesday night.
Except we're going to be interrupted by the playoffs. I think Fox has the playoffs for a while.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I love to watch the playoffs.
It kind of sucks, though, because it throws off the season. That's why 24 now starts, I think, in January, just to bypass that whole playoff thing.
Yeah, because they think the show's canceled, then it's back on.
The show's reruns. Good.
Yeah. It is. It's awfully funny. Kelsey Grammer, Patricia Heaton, you can't do wrong with them.
No. And you as a quirky
sportscaster. Yeah, I love that.
Right. Where are you from, Fred?
Cleveland, Ohio.
You're from Cleveland.
Born and raised in Cleveland.
Midwest. How about them Indians?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, boy, that was something last night. That was a barn burner. Wow.
Yeah.
Those Yankees never gave up. But it's Cleveland and Boston now. My wife's from Boston, so that's going to be some trouble in the house. Fun trouble, not real bad trouble.
Did you work your way into? Did you go through like the some of those comedy sketch groups, the Groundlings?
Indeed,
and things
I
like
did.
That?
Yes. Indeed, I did. I was in a comedy group that people may not remember, Ace Trucking Company.
The Ace
years
Trucking
ago.
Company. Yeah,
we played a club here called the Bijou one time.
Wow.
And the only character they remember from that is a guy who's named Raymond J. Johnson. You doesn't have to call me Ray.
Johnson, yeah.
You can call me Jay.
Yeah.
That was in our group.
The Budweiser commercials.
He did Budweiser and everything. And then, what did you ask? I was at Second City, Chicago's famed Second City.
Was your first TV work? Because I remember go Fernwood Tonight.
That was not quite the first. That was the earliest. That's the one that did the best for me, Martin Mull.
You and Martin Mull, yeah.
First thing I think I was on was Laverne and Shirley with, ironically, Michael McKean and David Lander, who I've since worked with. And,
sure. Michael was in a lot of the Christopher Guest, Best in Show.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
And,
I think you guys
Tap.
Represent the higher tier. I mean, that stuff is. I love those movies. I love when they let you go loose a little bit. Obviously, on those movies, you're allowed to improvise.
Yes.
In fact, it's virtually all improvisation.
It's improvisation. Right. It's structured, so you know what the scene is. So in that genre, it is the best people doing it, that we're all on the same wavelength.
It's just brilliant.
There's different kinds of comedy that are funnier or less funny. You know, you put a guy like Dave Attell, who I love, put him in, he might not do so well. I wouldn't do so well doing what he does. So it's a certain brand of comedy.
Do you appreciate that sort of comedy yourself since many times? I assume even though you're as proficient as you are at it, when you're put in the moment and there's a movie budget at stake and you're sitting there in front of the cameras trying to come up with something, can you then remove yourself and watch it and laugh at it?
Yeah, I try not to think that there's a movie budget at stake, but no, you're telling a story. It's my favorite type of comedy, not the comedy that hits you over the head.
Right.
And everything makes sense. People say things that are nutty, but they say it in a way that you could almost watch these things as a real documentary.
Right.
In fact, the first one, Spinal Tap, which was actually Rob Reiner's, a lot of people thought that was a real documentary.
Yeah.
And they would say to Rob Reiner, why didn't you make a documentary about a little more successful group? That's the truth. They really thought it was.
Wasn't it the case that they were actually, when they were making the movie, they would perform as the band on other rock show bills, and the audience was had no clue?
Had no clue. And a story they claim is true, they opened at the Beacon Theater in New York, Spinal Tap, and they have another group that they perform as the Folksmen.
Oh, yes,
they did folk music. They came out and they were booed off the stage because the audience didn't realize it was them, and they thought it was just a lame opening act. They got booed off the stage.
Oh, that's funny.
So they had split feelings. We're being booed off the stage, but they want to see Spinal Tap.
Wow.
So it's and one of those stories I like to believe is true.
And the Folksmen ended up in A Mighty Wind.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
And that's fantastic.
And you'd think you had great music. People said, how did you get the rights to those songs? They wrote them all.
Yeah.
Very, very talented guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. I remember being, 12 or 13 when I first saw Spinal Tap, and I'm like, wow, this is a really weird documentary, and I thought it was legit.
Well,
after a while, I realized, oh, this has got to be a joke.
Your sequence on the Air Force Base, it was one of the... I remember clearly driving home from that movie and literally laughing in the car, which is, I appreciate comedy and love to really be consumed by it, and that your sequence where you're talking about being a little shaggy yourself is just brilliant.
I understand the military mindset, because I was in the Army a couple of years. I went to a military school.
Right.
And I know they tried to be regular guys, and it was their At Ease Tuesday or something.
Every time I watch Best in Show, I like it more and more. And in fact, all the Christopher Guest movies, I like them on subsequent viewings. But the first time I watched Best in Show, your character was the only one that really made me laugh out loud over and over and over. And as you're sitting here talking and telling stories, all I can hear is, how much do you think that I can bench press? I mean, those lines were killer.
That was a question I thought my character thought would please the audience. You see all these people on the Upper East Side of New York wondering, I wonder how much he could bench press. And actually, nobody gave a damn. That was just one of the character things.
I've got the clip here. I got to play it because it's one of our favorites. So here we go.
Let me ask you a question. This may be a little bit off the path. How much weight do you think I could bench press? Just make a guess, ballpark figure.
Absolutely.
315 pounds. I mean, I was in top shape. I don't know if I could make it down to the end of this arena and back. Now, deadlifted over 500.
And this is just out of nowhere.
Sure. Yeah. And notice I modified it by saying this has nothing to do with anything.
right. Oh man.
Is the liability that when you're doing something and you catch gold you need to be paired with an actor who can withstand
absolutely.
That and keep going.
Oh, absolutely. He was the best. His name is Jim Piddick. And a lot of people thought he was a real dog show guy.
I did too.
Yeah.
He played it so straight.
He's just an actor who knew no more about dogs than I did. But he just did it perfectly. Yeah.
You know what? I was going through your credits, and like I said, there were two pages of just what you've done this year. And a lot of people who try and get into the business don't even get two pages worth of material in their whole career. But
and we've talked to most of them.
Yeah. But I do want to say that when I see your face, obviously I know you're Fred Willard, but when I booked this last week, I was like, oh yeah, we're gonna get Fred Willard in the studio. And then I was like, oh wait a second, is that, and I mistook you from Willard Scott for a second.
That's happened to me. People say, are you in relation to Willard Scott? And then they kind of trail off. Oh no, I guess you're not.
So I had to do an IMDb. I'm like, oh, man, I hope I didn't do the weather guy.
Expect that in the next movie,
I was invited to a tennis tournament once, and at first, then they called, and they said, oh, no, they decided not to have you. And then they called back in, oh, yes, we want you very much. It seemed the old lady in charge of it thought I was Mr. Rogers or something.
Fred Rogers?
I love Mr. Rogers, but I don't want him here to play for this tennis tournament.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's a constant fight out there. You guys are wonderful. You're all together. You know what's happening, but it's a strange world out there.
Oh, with the new show, back to you, are you allowed to have a little attitude with the script? It seems like it's written in your style.
They wrote it for me. They created the role for me. I play a sportscaster, which I love.
Right.
A guy who's just a little dim, doesn't have all his marbles, but...
trying to figure out a magic trick in one episode, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yes. And they've asked me for ideas. They said, we'll run it through the writer's room. But right now, the scripts are so tight. They have such good writers that it was just amazing to see good hard nugget jokes down.
You have three of the sharp. I mean, Kelsey Grammer is definitely always on his game.
You know, I've been in comedy a long time, and I'll look at him the way he'll put a twist on a line, and I'm still. It's like watching a professor figure out a physics problem. I
say,
I never would have said the line that way. But he gets the laugh, and he's a genius at it.
It is. I mean, you hear comedians or people to your level, and I, we all consider you masterful at your craft. That have, I mean, is there a significant amount of laboring on, you know, just that nuance, just that pause, or do you just let it come naturally?
Well, what I've been finding in the show, we do two passes at a scene, so I'll do it the way I think it should be done, and then maybe I'll go back and give it a different spin.
And then you just let it go because
in your mind, there's three or four different ways you can deliver a line. You can get all the way to the Christopher Walken delivery. Yeah, yeah. Why are we here with this? But you don't go, or the William Shatner.
Right.
But if you give it two or three chances, and then maybe sometimes they'll come up after two takes and say, here's a change. And they'll give you a whole new line. The other night we were filming a scene in a car, and they came up, they handed me a piece of paper. Here's a whole speech to do. And I was looking at it, and they were like, "What do you have to? How long is this going to take before you memorize it?" And I pulled it off, and so I was a big hero. And plus, the audience loves it because the audience thinks that I've just made this up myself.
They've heard
the original line, and they say, "Boy, that Fred Willard just changed the whole line.
he's incredible, that guy."
Yeah. And meanwhile, there's 10 writers standing back there with their arms folded, say, "Okay, yeah, that's good."
Are you talking about doing a comedy for quite a stretch? And I'm looking on your credits here. Is that you were in the movie Silver Streak?
Yeah,
back in 1976.
You were the pompous railroad worker who doesn't believe that the train is barreling into the
station.
That's
right. Yeah, that's right. I'm very proud of that. That's the first movie I ever auditioned for. And
really?
Got.
Yeah.
Since then, I've auditioned for hundreds of movies and never gotten them.
What was one of the great losses that you would have loved to have been in on?
Well, I'll tell you, I was offered the movie Airplane years ago.
Okay.
That Robert Hayes did. And I was doing a show called Real People at the time. I didn't like the script. It was one of those first where it's all plays on words. My agent said, "Look, if you don't want to do it, don't do it." So I said, "Okay." That summer, I'd done a Buck Henry movie called First Family. We came in to do the looping, and he walked in. He said, "Well, I just saw this summer's big hit." And we said, "Oh, what? Airplane." And I said, "Uh-oh. You have a sound effect there?" But my wife, so supportive for years, has said, "You know, Fred, if you had been in it, it might not have been that big a hit."
There you go. Always.
That's it.
There you go.
Do you ever have to audition anymore, or are things just specifically written for you and they call you and ask if you want
to do it? So far, I've been lucky. I just get offers, but I would be glad to audition. Like if Woody Allen called or Steven Spielberg, I'd be in a minute to read and audition. Actually, for some reason, masochistic reason, I like to audition now. It's fun. You go in because I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I've gone in and done some things and walked out and said, "Geez, I'm good. How good is it?" But then you don't get it. You don't get it.
Right.
And they'll give it, you find someone else got it and say, "Hey, I didn't see him there in the room. We're ready to read."
Is the kiss of death walking out saying, "Boy, I nailed that."
Pretty much, yeah.
You mentioned First Family. I totally remember that movie.
So Gilda Radner.
Bob Newhart and Gilda Radner. I think Harvey Korman was in it.
Harvey, yeah.
That was a funny spoof. That was Airplane-ish.
Yes, it was.
It was kind of a spoof movie.
How was Gilda to work with?
Oh, she's just as sweet as you'd ever think she was. Just kind of silly. We sat at lunch, and there was Harvey Korman, there was Dick Benjamin, Buck Henry.
Wow.
They'd all been in that movie about the Army.
Catch-22.
Catch-22, and they were telling stories about it. We'd sit at lunch, and Gilda would sit there very quietly, and when there'd be a lull, she'd say, More stories.
That's great.
So she was a sweetheart, and she's gone. It's a shame.
You've worked with so many great actors. Who was the most fun to work with?
Let's see. The most fun to work with, I love Norm MacDonald. I was on his series called A Minute with Stan Hooper.
He's great.
Martin Mull, I love to work with. Others that I'm kind of blanking. Those two jump up to... that are fun to
work
with.
Is it the synergy? I mean, you have to... Somebody who you can work with... I mean, obviously, the Tim Conway, Harvey Korman.
Right.
Who would you consider your Harvey Korman to your Tim Conway?
Well, I would say Martin Mull.
Martin Mull and I
worked well together. He would top me. I'd come up with a great ad-lib, and he'd be right on top and hit... A guy I've gotten very friendly with recently, Conan O'Brien. I was on his show the other night, and during the break, he was talking to me like we were old friends. And
he's the real deal.
He's a nice guy and so talented.
That's cool.
I told him, I said, "You know, I never miss the show. I TiVo it." I said, "Occasionally, we speed through some of the guests." And he leaned over to me and says, "I wish I could do that."
Oh, man.
Well, I'm excited for Back to You Wednesday nights at Fox. I've thought Patricia Heaton.
Yeah.
I mean, you love Kelsey Grammer. His comedic timing's great.
It's a funny show. It's the best new crop of the new crop of sitcoms.
So. I mainly know Patricia Heaton for her Acme commercials.
Yeah,
she's great in those too. But no, she's cute. Yeah. She's adorable. Are you
America's sweetheart? I call her. She is. She's really sweet. She's not a laugh a minute. You know, heavy comic, but she is just the ideal. Wife, the ideal woman.
Are you the three? The focus of the show?
Well, it's Patty and Kelsey are the focus, and the rest of us, they've given us a nice chunk every week. We all have a side story, and I imagine if it goes on, one week it'll be my character getting into some trouble, and next week's the weather girl, and so I they're good writers.
And the weather girl is a bit of a looker.
Yeah, Ida Field is her name. She was from 60 Rockefeller Center, and. Yeah, Josh Gad is the station manager. He's a movie guy. He's got a lot of movies coming out.
The main focus basically is that Kelsey Grammer's returned. He was a big deal anchor and let the F words slide, which made it to YouTube.
Oh, really?
So he's bumped back to the same market that he left from, and he had a relationship.
A one night affair with Patricia. They have a child, but they're trying to keep it quiet. And they're battling all the time. He wants to have. More input with the little girl, and she says, "I don't think you'll make a good father." And it's which led to the goldfish episode where he killed like 8 goldfish. Is this how you're going to treat my daughter?
He's trying to show he's responsible.
That's awesome.
But it's great. It's great to be on the set with Kelsey Grammer. I'm such a fan.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we wish you all the best. And before you go, one more quick question: how much can you bench press
right now?
Yeah.
I would say probably I'm down at 280, 290. I'm in my promotional mode. Okay. But give me back a few days in the gym.
All your heavy lifting.
I don't have my belt with me.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good amount.
Yeah. You need the belt. Yeah.
I'm impressed.
You need the belt. Yeah. And someone to spot me. But you get into some gyms, you get a spotter that has a different idea of spotting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then you finish it up in the steam room and you say, "What are you bringing me in here for?" Then you find out. And all you hear is, "Relax, just relax." Wait a minute. You know.
That's why we love Fred Willard. Oh, back to you on Fox Wednesdays at 8 p.m.
And let me say this, guys. It's the only radio show I'm doing that. I did a TV show. They said, "This is the show you have to do in Philadelphia." And this is from Fox L.A.
Awesome. Man, we appreciate it, Fred. Thank you so much for coming in here.
Thanks
today.
For having me.
Fred Willard, ladies and gentlemen. Back to you on Fox.
Oh, that's me adding.
Tomorrow night.
More.
8 o'clock.
He was great. I'll tell you, we've had some guests in here, but that guy.
Oh, they can go.
We'll be right back.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.